The Andy Griffith Show, starring Andy Griffith, with Ronnie Howard, also starring Don Knotts.
Andy Griffith and Don Knotts met on Broadway in the 1950s. When Andy went to Hollywood to film a TV pilot about a small-town sheriff, Don called to ask if the sheriff could use a deputy. The comedic synergy between Sheriff Andy Taylor and Deputy Barney Fife ignited the Andy Griffith Show, elevating a folksy sitcom into a timeless study of human friendship as potent off the screen as on. Andy and Don, The Making of a Friendship and a Classic American TV Show, is a new book written by Don Knotts' brother-in-law and featuring extensive unpublished interviews with those closest to both men. It's a pleasure to welcome Daniel DeVise to the roundtable this morning. Daniel, thank you very much for being with us.
Oh, my pleasure.
Very nice to have you with us. So being the brother-in-law of Don Knotts, what brought you to the project ultimately?
Well, I'd been wanting to write something about Don since I met him. And I think I met him in about 1991. My wife and I went up to Disney World as sort of his guests. He was holding court that day. He was sort of the VIP guest, you know, led the parade and got a big backstage tour. And it was amazing. Going around with him was like being with Elvis. You know, he would just be mobbed everywhere he went. Anyway, so I got to know him over those years, you know, in the 90s particularly, and I'd always wanted to write something about him, but I was just always tethered to some news job somewhere and just kind of too busy with daily deadlines to do anything. Finally, a few years ago, I found myself kind of free because I was on a book leave finishing a memoir about Sue Meck, who I think lives in your coverage area. She's a wonderful woman who was a survivor of traumatic brain injury, and we were working on her memoir, which is called I Forgot to Remember, also published by Simon & Schuster. And I was pretty much done with my part of that book, and suddenly I had time. And so I kind of turned back to this kind of vision I had of someday writing something about Don, and that's basically how it happened.
So at what point did you decide to focus on the friendship between Andy Griffith and Don Knotts?
Yeah, almost immediately. My first impulse was to do maybe a biography of Don, which would have been great, but I think the dual biography is sort of more interesting in some ways, kind of more artistically challenging. You write about two lives and about the ways they intersect, and I've always loved the sort of friendship books that I've read in the past. You know, books that sort of explain a friendship or a partnership or a working relationship. So it's sort of very quickly the focus shifted. And the main reason for doing the book about the two of them rather than just one of them is that I think that friendship is kind of the beating heart of the Andy Griffith Show. It's I think, the main reason the show endures. I think their relationship is the central relationship in Mayberry.
Given that they were together on the show for a relatively short period of time, only five seasons, what was it about that time that planted the seeds for an enduring friendship?
Well, think, if you will, about somebody you know from maybe college days to whom you are very, very close, with whom you will always be friends. You didn't necessarily spend years and years and years together. It may have been 3 years or 4 years. But they were really intense years, and you did so much together and enjoyed this wonderful time together, a time that sort of endures in your memory, a wonderful time, kind of like the best of times, as they say. That's what this friendship was. I was interviewed by Mary Lou Henner, who was on Taxi, and she understood this. It's a Hollywood friendship, and by that I mean they were thrown together for these five incredible years of this intense interaction, always together every day working on this wonderful show that each of them knew was going to be maybe the best thing they ever did, either one of them. And they were together day in and day out, constantly together, working together, sharing everything. And when those 5 years were over, there was no way they weren't going to still be friends, and they weren't going to stay friends, you know, kind of forever. That's the easy answer. You know, They actually became friends several years earlier on the cast of the Broadway play No Time for Sergeants, and that's where the friendship was forged. They were sort of fellow Southerners on Broadway, and that in itself made them close. But yeah, that friendship was destined, I think, to last forever.
What is interesting about the friendship is that we see both of these men really at the height of their fame. The show is hugely popular, and it is the Andy Griffith Show. So how does Don Knotts come into the mix? How does he get the job?
That's a good question. He didn't have the job at the beginning. Sheldon Leonard, the brilliant producer for whom the Sheldon and Leonard characters are named on Big Bang Theory, Sheldon Leonard came up with the idea of let's make a show about Andy, you know, with him as a central personality. Initially, it was going to be him. He was going to be the kind of comic engine of the show, and other people were going to sort of react to his sort of Will Stockdale-style antics. That's the character from the No Time for Sergeants play and movie. And that's how it played out in the pilot. The pilot aired, and Don saw it as a member of the viewing audience. He was in the home of Pat Harrington, who later became known as the handyman on One Day at a Time. Don saw the pilot and loved it and called Andy up, I guess, the next day and said, hey, gee, Ange, that's a terrific show you got brewing there. How would you like to have a deputy? And that has been termed, you know, the most consequential phone call in the history of classic television.
In that partnership, what made it work? What made it work on screen and even off screen, but especially for what is the lasting legacy, which is what we see still in repeats today?
I think it worked so well primarily because there was such a real friendship, such a powerful real friendship behind the fictional one. I think, in fact, the television friendship probably was modeled on the real friendship. It just feels real if you watch it. You can sort of watch the two of them, and you just know they're friends in real life, not just on television. But then, too, it turned out that the two of them had great chemistry as a comedy team, and that's what I see them as a comedy team, like Laurel and Hardy or Martin and Lewis. That chemistry, that electricity, was evident 5 years earlier when they performed a scene together in the No Time for Sergeants play. I spoke to, I believe, the lone surviving member of that permanent cast, and he said that anyone who went and saw that play could tell that there was chemistry between these two actors, these two performers, and that this great comedy team was taking shape then. And that became sort of the central kind of relationship in that show 5 years later.
In a jailhouse down in Dixie, fighting crime and risking life, dwelt a sheriff and his buddy, pistol packing Barney Fife. Oh, my daring Barney Fife. He's a deadly crime stopper, what a copper, Barney Fife. And one day there come a riding two bad men to rob a bank, but Fife was tricky, a dead-eye dicky. Now they're locked up in the tank.
Oh, my Barney. Barney had a jail and couldn't lock it. Had one bullet for his pistol. Had to keep it in his pocket.
So at the end of the 5 years, Don Knotts could have stayed on with the program. He wanted some of the ownership stake. And Andy Griffith was not willing to give that up. Did that put a strain on the friendship?
You're right. This is sort of one of the newly revealed things that I think is in the book. The people close to this show, none of them knew this. I heard it from Don's manager, and Andy was the one who told it to him, and he only told him this half dozen years ago. Apparently the two of them, Andy and Don, had a meeting, just the two of them, and Don said, well, I'll stay, you know, I'll postpone my film career or whatever, but I'd like to have a stake. Andy, I think, was half owner of the Griffith Show, and that made him, you know, very wealthy, and I think Don probably maybe envied that. But these guys weren't negotiators, they were just friends. And the negotiation, such as it was, came to nothing. I think they misunderstood each other. Andy, I think, thought Don wanted a big, big share of the show. Don probably didn't, according to his manager, but again, they weren't negotiators, so it didn't go anywhere. And it, fortunately for all, for the rest of their lives, you know, fortunately, it didn't affect their friendship. And I'm not just sort of making that up. I mean, it's a fact that within months after that moment, Andy is helping Don write the screenplay to his first Universal film, The Ghost and Mr. Chicken, and they had a riotous good time, by all accounts.
When the show went on without Don Knotts, it really was never the same, and even Mayberry RFD, these were shows that Andy Griffith was never all that happy with.
Well, I thought this might be sort of a sacrosanct topic with the you know, passionate fans of the show, but I've met a lot of them on the road, and you'd be surprised how many of them kind of agree with this basic tenet that the color episodes without Don on them aren't as good, are and maybe even a lot worse. And this sort of sense that Andy looks sort of ornery, sort of unhappy, sort of maybe mournful even on those episodes. People who really know the show, a whole bunch of them have told me that. And yeah, I certainly see that. Mind you, my perspective is that of a biographer of their friendship. So with Don absent, I'm looking for all that. But I saw it. I mean, Andy looks pretty miserable a lot of the time those last few years on the show. As for Mayberry RFD, again, Andy profited, I think, handsomely from that show. I don't think he was a big fan of it. I think he might have been ready to move on from Mayberry. But I will say he was really good friends with Ken Berry, who had the lead in that show. They were buddies. So, you know, both things can be true.
Don Knotts won 5 Emmy Awards, which was something that Andy Griffith never really acknowledged.
I found out in my reporting for this book that indeed Andy, remember, Don envied Andy's financial success on The Griffith Show. Don was a salaried employee. He never earned more than $100,000 a year for that. Compare that to people now earning $1 million an episode, right? He didn't get rich from that show. Andy did. And I think Don envied that. Okay, flip it around. I think Andy envied Don's artistic recognition. He was the first character, I believe, to get 5 Emmys for playing the same guy. And remember, 2 of these happened after he left the show. I mean, and that must have seemed almost like a slap in the face to the rest of the ensemble. Although they loved Don, you know. But my goodness. And over those years, I'm told, Andy literally could not speak to Don of those awards, couldn't so much as cough out a sort of attaboy, well done. It was just too painful of a topic for him.
They each went on to separate success in other projects. Was it ever their idea or their inclination to do something together again?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Don's second wife, Lorelei, told me that as early as 1972, they were sort of dreaming and scheming of staging some kind of reunion. This is well before all the Mayberry nostalgia sort of happened. They just wanted to work together again, and they talked about it over and over again. And there were various factors that hindered them. Don was very busy. Andy was very busy. Each man had his own project. Andy wanted to prove himself as sort of a leading actor, and he spent really the next decade and a half, all the way up until Matlock, he was trying to prove to the Hollywood establishment that he could be a strong, serious, you know, heavy leading man. Don was busy himself doing first the Universal films, then Disney films, some of them with Tim Conway, and then after that, Three's Company, as Ralph Furley, a Don Knotts-type character for whom they recruited the real Don Knotts. So the reunion didn't happen until the mid-1980s for all sorts of reasons, but not for lack of interest in doing it. The two friends had talked about it for a very long time before it happened.
People say this a lot, and I think it's probably overused. But in the case of Don Knotts, he really was a one of a kind, right?
Oh, yeah. It's hard. He's so well known. His face was up on the wall at this kitschy Charlotte restaurant I was in the other night, you know, this hipster joint. I mean, his trademark image is such a part of our popular culture. It's almost hard to pull yourself away from it and analyze it. I see him, and I'm not alone, as kind of a link in the chain of sort of great comedic actors, you know, going back before like Woody Allen, back to like Jerry Lewis and Groucho Marx and all these great, great comedic actors. I think he's one of the, you know, Bob Hope too, for all the cinema work he did. And Don Knotts, he's a link in that chain. And because he's so well known for that supporting role in this television sitcom, you kind of forget all the other stuff he did. And this nervous man character that he created sort of pervades all of the roles he ever played. And it's so enduring, you know, even apart from the success of The Griffith Show. So, yeah, I'm with you on that, totally.
And that went back to, was it Jack Parr or Steve Allen?
Oh, gosh, Steve Allen. For people of my generation, this is sort of like Dave Letterman.
Yeah.
Steve Allen was a hip, kind of a little bit crazy.
Started The Tonight Show.
Late night guy. He started The Tonight Show, invented a lot of those conventions, you know, that endure to this day. And he kind of discovered Don. I mean, Don got himself discovered. Don was very ambitious, and he went on The Tonight Show with this nervous man. I think it was 1955 or 6. And Steve Allen immediately recognized it as a brilliant creation and hired him.
You mean you still haven't gotten through to the Weather Bureau? Well, Herb, I've got to get through. What am I going to do? I can't stand out here and stall for 5 minutes. I mean, this is a weather forecast. I'm on an entertainer. Please, I've only got 5 seconds. Can you please get through? Can you? Good evening. hello, everyone, and welcome to your 11:10 weather forecast. It's brought to you every evening at 11:10 at this same time. The present temperature is degrees, and the wind is coming from the window, isn't it?
And Don became one of these three sort of beloved TV bananas. I think Tom Poston, Louis Nye, I believe,
right,
were the other two. And for 5 years, they delighted sort of sophisticate, you know, viewers, a lot of young college students and just hip people. My stepfather knows Don mainly through that role. I don't think he ever watched The Griffith Show.
When it comes to the friendship, as you say, it was enduring through these many years after the Andy Griffith Show, and to the point where Andy Griffith was at Don Knotts' bedside when he died.
They talked whenever they could and saw each other whenever that was possible through all those years. When Andy found success again with Matlock, he brought Don into that fold, and Don was very grateful to be hired onto that program, and they did a whole bunch of episodes together. That takes us into the 90s, and then in the final, what proved to be the final years of Don's life, Andy actually relocated back to Hollywood and lived there and spent a lot of time with Don in what turned out to be his final years. And I think Andy went there largely at Don's inspiration to sort of join him in the sort of autumnal, you know, career path. Don was getting a lot of work, and Andy wanted to get work too, and they were both very ambitious guys right up to the end. So Don and Andy were there together in Hollywood at the end of Don's life, you know, going out together, having dinner, telling the old stories, telling off-color jokes, making everyone laugh.
It has been said, and maybe this is an unfair question, I'll ask it anyway, which is that there are many stories that Andy Griffith was at times a little curmudgeonly and maybe not the nicest guy in the world. In reading the book, you certainly don't go down that road, but you don't do a whole lot to dispel it either.
I hope it's clear to anyone reading my manuscript that Andy was the sort of more complex character. And if you have to go back to the 60s and 70s, but Andy would be his own worst critic. I mean, he would freely admit that he had a temper and that he could be prickly and that there was a little bit of that Lonesome Rhodes, you know, Elia Kazan scene shredder guy in Andy. You come forward to the 90s and 2000s. I've heard stories about him not always being the most gracious person, about signing an autograph in the middle of his dinner or something. I'm not sure that makes him any different from a lot of other celebrities who are at a certain point just trying to live their lives. I didn't dwell on anything like that in the book because, again, my focus was on the friendship with Don, and so it's not really maybe relevant to that. I will say that Don was unusually magnanimous and was sort of known for never turning away a single soul who wanted to speak to him or get his autograph. And he was unusual in that respect. I think he had this weird feeling that if he upset anybody in public, that that would be the end of his career or something. I mean, certainly that wasn't so, but he went really out of his way to just shake hands with everybody who wanted to. And he had to have handlers, you know, people around him saying, "I'm so sorry, but Mr. Knotts has to go eat eventually," you know. So Andy's the more normal human person in some ways, because who hasn't heard a story about a celebrity just, you know, eventually saying, "I'm so," you know, just getting a little bit irritable and saying, I'm just trying to eat my lunch here, you know, that kind of thing.
When it comes to the legacy of these two men, I guess it ultimately really does boil down to their most successful work, which is their work together on The Andy Griffith Show.
Yeah, I guess I make the argument in the book that they were better together than alone. As wonderful as Andy was in the Face in the Crowd movie, that's a masterful performance, and as hilarious as Don was in many of his other roles, yeah, I think they were a wonderful comedy team, and I think the stuff they did together in those 5 years trumps anything else either of them ever did. And it's not that the other work they did wasn't great. It's just that the work they did on that show was immortal, I think.
Talk a little bit about the fact that you're his brother-in-law. How well did you know him? How well did you get into, did that help this process?
Yeah, I'd like to think I knew him more than a little bit. I would see him at family gatherings, particularly when my wife and I lived in Los Angeles in the first half of the 90s. And whenever I'd see him, I'd kind of interview him, just like you're interviewing me. I mean, more casually, but I would ask him all about the beginning of his career. That kind of fascinated me, and the advent of the Nervous Man, and the sequence of events that led him from being sort of invisible to visible and from unknown to known to famous, you know. And he loved to tell me, and he was a very intelligent man, and he loved to recount all how hard he'd worked to become known, to become successful. Now, mind you, I would have never dreamed I was going to eventually write something like this, so I didn't, you know, ask him much about his friendship with Andy. I knew that it was there. I knew they were dear, dear friends. But when I was with Don, and I don't think I ever saw the two of them together, but when I was with Don, I was always talking about Don, asking him about his own life, his own career, and it fascinated me.
Well, the name of the book is Andy and Don, The Making of a Friendship and a Classic American TV Show. The book is published by Simon & Schuster. Daniel, thank you very much for spending time with us. A great pleasure to have you on the program.
Take care.
Thank you. Again, the title of the book is Andy and Don, The Making of a Friendship and a Classic American TV Show. It's published by Simon & Schuster. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.